And I'm not being ugly, but I know a lot of churches do not have services on Sunday night, and I know people are tired, but I just think, as Brother Stenbridge prayed, we ought to just keep on celebrating throughout the night. Amen? And I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad we're able to have the opportunity, and I won't keep you too long. Amen? Y'all know the drill, don't you? Wasn't it an encouragement today that Brother Vince followed the Lord in baptism?
Yes.
And I want you to be praying. Others will be following suit here in the near future, hopefully and prayerfully. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do and what He is doing. And excited about being able to just see the Lord reveal it and all of us watch it. And so we'll be praising the Lord for it. Would you open your precious Bible tonight to the Gospel according to Luke? Luke chapter 24. And I want to just give attention to one question and kind of expound on that tonight. And to be fair, I wanted to preach this message this morning because, as you can tell, once we get started in it, it's a good preaching message. But I want to kind of give it, I'm going to change it a little bit and kind of give application tonight for us as Christians, and I pray that we'll get a burden. We'll get a burden for people. People are the only things that's going to live forever. And God loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son for us. Why? Because we're going to live forever. And we ought to be burdened for people. I want to share this with you. I don't know. I just thought about it. I've never shared it before. The first time I openly shared it, I shared it with my parents and my sister, my daughter and my wife and Josh down at their house yesterday. Boy, when you're young, you wish you could go back and change some things, don't you? And there was these two little boys in our town, in our area. They lived in a very rough trailer on 17th Avenue. And I'll never forget it. You know, years ago, I don't see a whole lot of people doing it now, I'm sure we do, but how many of you still make old-fashioned eggs? You color the eggs and you boil them, and then after you find them, you eat them. Does anybody still do that? A few of you. Well, that's all we knew to do years ago is we made our own eggs, we colored them, and the joy of that was you got to eat them. So you didn't want to bust them up too bad because there was just something about them eggs when you dipped them in that vinegar and collard. But anyway, to make a long story short, there was these two little boys and they weren't quite as well off as all of us others. And I don't know, I get moved just talking about it. I cried about it yesterday telling them about it. But these two little boys, they were so poor, they didn't have much. And I remember on Easter morning, for some reason, I took the long way home to get up to my grandma's house. And these two little boys was out there, and they had collared some eggs, and they were so happy that they had those eggs, and they were all busted up and dirty, and the little kids were dirty. And, you know, I was just a kid myself, and I've never forgotten about it. And those two little boys were so excited. They didn't have an Easter basket. They didn't have anything else. All they had was them eggs, and they were eating them. And even as a little boy, I got touched and moved. But, you know, I got touched and moved, and I really didn't know what to do about it. But you know, as Christians, I look back now and I say, boy, I wish that I would have known the Lord and had more of a desire for Him in those days like I do now. We're going to come in contact with so many people. And here's the thought. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 24, look at verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Now, remember when I told you this morning that there's four different accounts of the resurrection? It's the same event, just from different accounts. Well, notice the wording here, very early. Now, the other passages we read this morning said it started to dawn. That's why people have sunrise services. They came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So now we realize there was more. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Here's the thought. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, you know as well as I do, if we go to a cemetery, we don't expect to see life. What I mean by that is we don't expect to go to a cemetery and find a bunch of empty graves. We go to a cemetery and we realize we're going to go there because, to be honest, there's death there. That's where we place the bodies of our loved ones that have died. So sometimes we give these folks a rough time. We think, man, they should have remembered. But you know as well as I do, if we was to go up here to the cemetery today and there'd be somebody that we thought should be there is gone, and someone tells us, why are you here? He's risen. Then that would shake us too. We would expect to go and find not that. But these words were spoken by the angels to these women who had arrived at the cemetery expecting to prepare a corpse with burial spices. So I think the question's powerful, and I want to focus on that tonight. The question that these angels asked, we should be answering that question today. Why are so many people trying to find life in dead things? They're looking for life. They're looking for fulfillment of life in dead things. And I don't know about you, but the longer I live, the more I see it. And you know what it ought to do for Christians? It ought to burden us. It ought to burden us because we have so many people around us. They are looking for fulfillment of life, love, satisfaction, joy, peace, in all the wrong places. No one was to think to go up here to the cemetery and go up there and find something that would sustain us in life. No, when you go to a cemetery, it's exactly what you expect to find. It's death there. So I'd like to just consider this question tonight, and I'm asking you as a Christian. If you're a Christian tonight, I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to burden your heart and to help you. There's people that you know and love and are acquainted with, and you know as well as I do, they're seeking for life in all the wrong places. You know it. Now, I think we need to be wise the way we approach them, the way we talk to them, but we know there's people that we love, we know, we might work with, we're acquainted with, we know in our communities, and we just know by their lifestyle, we know that they're trying to seek for life where death is, in dead things. So I want to give you a few things here that we all know is true. Number one, we know that people will not find life in more possessions and money. But yet, we make such a big deal of that in this day. We know that the idea that all we need is money and all that we need is stuff, we know that that does not bring and sustain fulfillment of life. Yet there's millions of people on this old earth, they are seeking for life in the gravestone of things, money, and stuff. I want to give you something sobering. It was sobering to me. I didn't hear it. My wife told me about it the other day. Have you noticed something that is popping up all around our country? Storage buildings. They're popping up everywhere. It's a big business. They're multi-million dollar business. And here's what is amazing to me is several years ago, Brother Gerald and Jim Morgan was here, and they had a little bit of time, and we were driving them around. And I'll never forget what Miss Jim Morgan said from Guyana. She said, what are these buildings? And Laura said, those are storage buildings. She said, storage buildings? Now, she's from Guyana. How many of you ever been to Guyana? Well, you know they don't have storage buildings. She didn't even know what a storage building was. So she said, what are those for? And Laura started to explain. She says, well, people have so much stuff here, they cannot keep it in their home, so they rent a storage building to keep their stuff. She about had a heart attack. She said, you're telling me that people rent a storage building to keep things that they cannot contain in their homes? She said, I've never heard of that. Y'all think we need more stuff? See, we won't find life in possessions, more possessions. We won't find life in money. We won't find life in things. Now, by the way, you got to have money and thank God for everything we have. We got to have the right view of it. Some people are looking for life in the graveyard of money and possessions, and we are a consumer-driven culture. Jesus said there's so much more to life than the abundance of possessions. Money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. Money can buy you insurance, but it can't buy you peace of mind. Money can buy people a bed, but it can't buy them a night's sleep. Money can buy you fun, but it cannot buy you joy. But yet, we know thousands of people around us, even in this area, they're seeking for life and everything they can attain and get. And by the way, I rejoice when people attain things. I don't get jealous. I'm thankful, especially if it's a Christian. I'm thankful when God blesses somebody and they're able to be able to. I'd rather be able to drive in a nice vehicle than have to walk. I'm thankful and blessed if another church gets blessed. I don't want to have this idea. And I tell you right now, who they steal off to get that? No, I think just the Lord likes to bless people. But at the same time, we have to understand those blessings are really a side blessing to having the real blessing, knowing the Lord Jesus. So we won't find life in more possessions. And we have friends, family, co-workers, people that we know and love, and that's where they live. And God help us to get a burden to lovingly, very wisely, to try to help people to realize they'll never find that joy and happiness in those things. I've learned something else. We're not going to find life in seeking thrills. I'm not the most thrill-seeking person anyway. I get nervous with anything. I mean, Brother Edgy kind of gets tickled with me, but it's true, man. I still have nightmares over that thing up there at the camp. The zip line. I still have nightmares about it. I had one just about a week ago. And thought about, Lord, help me. We let some of them folks, only it was by God's grace they didn't get killed. But seeking thrill, so many people today are bored. Here's what they're bored with their lives, so they start seeking thrills. People are paying thousands of dollars to experience new thrills. Now, listen, I'm not against people having fun. Now, I'm different. A thrill to me is you get me in a tree stand. Amen, that's my thrill. Get me on a fishing bank. Let me wade up a river. That's my thrill. Far as getting in a perfectly good airplane and jumping out of it, that ain't my thrill. And I know there's somebody right back there in the nursery that needs to get right with God because they want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And they're trying to get their blessings from me to do it. And she's going to do it. I said, you're a grandma. You don't need to be doing that stuff. She said, if I can't jump out of a plane, you don't get to climb up in tree stands anymore. But here it is. Here's what I'm talking about. Pleasure and thrill seeking is a tomb of, listen, unfulfilled desires. Here's why. Because you've always got to find something bigger and better. So it's this endless cycle. Oh, that's not enough. Man, I had a great hole, but now, you know, the human flesh, it requires more. So people have lived their life in unfulfilled because they think the next thrill will get them. By the way, I'm not against having fun. We won't find life in more possessions. We won't find life in seeking thrills because that is also, I believe, a tomb of unfulfilled desires. Let me just say this. You won't find life in man-made religion. Now listen. It's everywhere. It's right here. In this area. There's nothing more clear to me in my life that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. There's nothing that's more clear to me in the Word of God by salvation exactly the way the Bible teaches it. Would y'all agree?
Amen.
But it's amazing to me what man has added to that and taken away from that. And you know what that is? That's religion. Religion is an old weathered tombstone. And man is religious creature, and from the earliest record of man, they worship the sun, the moon, and even living creatures. Religion is a man's attempt to find God. Now, I love this, but Christianity is God's attempt to reach down to man.
Yeah, that's good.
See, religion's a man-made attempt to try to reach up to God, but see, Christianity, He came down to us. He seeks a relationship with us. He came so He could redeem His creation. Religion kills. Hey, but Jesus gives what? Life. Now, do you all know the greatest, what I would say when we talk about religion that kills? We saw the destructive power of religion in September 11th, 2001. We've seen it at its greatest form. Religion drove those men to come over here and for months to learn how to play, to fly planes. And here's what's amazing. None of them was interested in landing a plane. That should have thrown off some red flags somewhere. But they never learned how to land a plane. They spent months, and here's what's amazing to me, they spent months acting like they liked and appreciated these people that was training them, but religion was causing them and motivating them to kill the very people that was helping them. That's not Christianity. But this religion had told these people by their Islam, their religion of Islam, that if they kill the infidel, which is anyone that does not believe like they do, and so that's why they flew the planes into the towers, that's why they flew the planes into the Pentagon. They wanted to do one thing, they wanted to kill Americans. You know what they were promised? Heaven. Their heaven is not our heaven. By the way, they don't have a heaven because it's not a heaven at all. They call it paradise. And by the way, in the Islam religion, the paradise for an Islam is really a man's paradise. I've never heard anything of paradise for the woman, because what we are told in the Islam religion, when someone gets a paradise, they have all the women they want and they can drink all the alcohol they want. That's paradise to them. They were promised that by their religion. So we know that man-made religion will not bring life. It is dead. It's dead. It's dead. Man-made religion has a form of godliness, but it is void of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just say tonight, what are we so passionate about? Why, when we ask this question, why seek ye the living among the dead? We know that all these things that I mentioned, so many more. By the way, people now are seeking it in drugs. They're seeking it in alcohol. They're seeking it in every illicit thing that we know brings them to a place of not life, but it brings them to great despair. Why are we so motivated? Because we know that we will only find, and they will only find, real life in Jesus. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I do too. I believe that with all my heart. By the way, there was a time in my life, I was saved at a very young age, but look, I tried to live out in the world and wasn't, you know, I didn't go too far, but I'm going to be honest with you, the Lord wasn't real important to me in some of my teenage years and my young years, and I want you to know, I'm telling you right now, I know based on the little experience that I have, and it's very little, there's no life without Him. Everybody is searching for life. Everybody is searching for meaning. God has made us, as I said this morning, with this God, really, it's a God-shaped hole in our hearts. It's our spirit. It's the way God created it. And that's how we relate to God. And by the way, we know that the only one that can fill that hole is Jesus Christ. Do you know what normally happens? And I'm trying to be very careful, but I want you to be wise and sensitive at the same time, because I don't want you to miss things. Do you know when normally people get a hold of this? When something tragic happens. I don't think he would mind me saying this, but I was speaking with Vince one day in my office, and I was trying to be very careful because, you know, when someone comes to you and they thought they were saved and, you know, they realize, but man, after he started talking to me about how he was under conviction, look, I wasn't going to argue with him, but here's something he said to me that was powerful because it was the same for me. And man, when he said it, it resonated with me because there was a time that I was laying on a bed broken in my life because, again, the short little time that I got away from the Lord, I was trying to fill life in some of these things. And I came to a place, and here's what I said. Here's what I said. I was raised in a Christian home. I'd heard it all my life. And I sat there with tears running down my eyes, and here's what I said. I had it all along. It was right there in front of me. I knew it all along. But I got away from it. And all of a sudden, everything through my life and through the Bible and through the things that I'd heard in church and every what little spirituality I had, I realized I was so ashamed because I had the help right in front of me and wasn't interested in it. And I was sitting in my office and not shared that with Vince. And Vince is sitting in my office. He's talking. He said, Pastor, he said, here's what I'm ashamed of. He said, it's been in front of me all along. And he said, I just didn't have any interest in it. And boy, I knew right then from my experience that the Lord brought me to that place. I said, he's getting it now. I've tried to help and be an encouragement. I'm trying to be wise, but look, we're dealing with devastating things in people's lives. And sometimes what we look at is we think, well, if that doesn't happen physically, then there's no miracle taking place. That's not always true. To be fair, the greatest miracles normally happen, and to be fair, we really can't see them on the front end because all of it's happening here. And we were in the presence of people just here recently, and I prayed and I said, we know the Lord is working great miracles. And a young lady looked up at her father with assurance in her eyes, and she said, oh yes. She said, there's certainly miracles happening. But why does it take tragedies? Why does it take brokenness? Why does it come to a place where we have to come? And by the way, that's a very sobering thing to realize that you had it in front of you the whole time. And I want y'all to know, parents, I want you to know, I want to give you some wisdom here. Keep your pulse on your children. Keep a pulse on your children. You're paying attention to their spiritual life. When they start asking questions, when even if they're young, don't ever minimize that and feel like, oh, well, they're just little. No, no, no. You take that serious because I'm telling you right now, there'll come a time in their life that it will all come together. One of the most sobering days of my life is when I had to come to this place in my life. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And here's what's, I knew Jesus. I knew His Word. I didn't know it like I did now. I knew. I was raised. My mother made sure I was in church. I heard all the gospel songs. I sat in church every day. I went to every revival service. I went to the camps. I went to all of it. But yet I didn't realize I had the help and I had life right in front of me. I just wasn't interested. And by the way, that life is Jesus. Jesus is the source of life. According to the Bible, life doesn't begin at 40. And by the way, I can tell you right now, that's not true anyway. Life begins with Jesus. Life can be found only in Jesus. Why? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The Bible says that He came to give life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. That's what makes Christianity different from other religions. Other religions are a creed. Now get a hold of this. Other religions are a creed, they're a code, they're a cause. Here it is. But what we have, what Christianity is Jesus. I think we've so muddied things up, you know, even with our young people. You know, I get tickled. People say, well, do y'all believe in all them rules? No, I believe in Jesus. Amen. I mean, that kind of settles things. For instance, someone will say, well, you believe you ought to be at church every time? Well, let me ask you a question. If you have a relationship with your wife, does your wife expect you to be faithful to her every day? Well, if you love her, you're going to be what? Faithful. You're not going to say, well, that's a rule. I'm going to get married to you, honey, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm only going to be faithful Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, that's a religion. A relationship's Jesus. We want to live our life to please Him. Why? Because we love Him. It's not a creed. It's not a code. It's not a book, of handbook, of rules. Say, well, you got to follow this rule book. You got to follow this. Why? No, Christianity is Jesus. It's not a code. It's not a creed. It's a relationship with Him. Can I get a witness? It's Jesus. He's the source of my life. If you're married, you had a wedding ceremony, but at the ceremony, you didn't get a wedding. You didn't get a wedding. You received a person. You got a wife. You got a husband. When you got saved, you got a Savior. He's it. He's the reason we live. He's the reason we come to church. It's not like I've heard people set the bar so low, say, well, I'll tell you right now, we need to get to church. If not, people are going to wonder where we are. There's a greater reason than that. When we raise our children, we tell our children, don't you do that. Well, why not? Because I told you so. There's a better reason than that. Jesus. What would Jesus? You've got to give an account to Jesus. See, the Christianity is a relationship with the Lord. That's life. That answers everything. He's the source of my life. Christianity is not simply following the teachings of Jesus. It's receiving the person of Jesus. Oh, listen. If we get a hold of that, that changes everything. Christianity is Jesus. He's the source of my life. Can I just say this, and I'm going to close. He's the satisfaction of our lives. Does he satisfy? He does. Y'all know the very first message I ever preached on a Sunday morning. I couldn't help when I thought about this. I've grown in the Lord and a little bit in my English because y'all know the very first message I ever preached on a Sunday morning was Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough for salvation, and He is. Jesus is enough for sanctification, and He is. Jesus is enough for satisfaction. Satisfaction. I preached that all the way through my message. Thought I nailed it. I get to the back of the church shaking people's hands. My brother-in-law, Mike, comes up to me. He shakes my hand. He's like, man. He said, that was great. powerful. We get to the house. He said, I just got one question. He said, I said, what's that? He said, what in the world is satisfaction? Jesus should be our satisfaction and our satisfaction. Nothing in this world can fully satisfy. It really can't. I'm glad this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Jesus is not only the source of my life and the source of your life, He is the way to abundant life. And here's the key. We got to surrender to Him. Just yield to Him. There's joy, there's peace, there's victory there. What's that mean to be satisfied? Man. We went down to Dallas, Hiram, Georgia, Marietta, that area. Kaylee lives in Dallas. It was her birthday. So we told her, we'll go anywhere you want to eat. So we went to the Marietta Diner. Has anybody ever been there? The Marietta Diner? Now I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If you're going to go to the Marietta Diner, it is not for wimps. You better go hungry or you're going to be, looky here, you're going to be humbled quick. So me and Laura and Dad and Mom and Kaylee and Josh and Corey and Cade, we all got a table at 8 and we sat down there at that Marietta Diner. And poor Mom, all she wanted was a salad, but you couldn't just, you know, that lady, that she was a lady from Greece. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, she knew how to waitress. She was one bossy little lady. She basically told Mom, no, this is what you're getting in. Mom, okay. So they bring out, can't just get one piece of fried chicken. You had to get the whole platter. So when they brought it out there, you had to have a soup and a salad. So they brought you a soup and a salad. That was a meal within itself. Then they bring you these two big loaves of bread, and that was a huge meal. But then they bring you a plate. They don't bring a plate. Y'all know what a platter is? It's a platter. I ordered it. I got a half a chicken, but underneath that chicken had dressing, had mashed potatoes, had mixed vegetables, and I had soup and salad. And I'm telling you right now, we was trying to wear that stuff out, and it wore us out. Here's the point. Y'all ever heard anybody say, I'm as full as a tick on a hound dog's ear? You know what that means when that tick's on that hound dog's ear and it's blown up? He's full. There's no need. He don't need to look for any other. And by the way, I did not eat the rest of the day. Y'all know why? Because I was satisfied. I was full. There was no use for me looking anywhere else because I didn't need to because I was satisfied. And when we have Jesus, there ain't no use looking anywhere else because we ought to be full and satisfied. Amen? Now, we know people that's living and looking for life in dead places. We know people that we love, we come in contact with, we work with, they're our neighbors, they live right here in the valley, and we know them. And you know as well as I do, they are seeking for life among the dead. And I'm praying that God will work in our hearts, give us a burden to let them know Jesus is really the only way of life they're ever going to have. And He will give them He will be their source and He will satisfy their life. But you can't make people do it. So you know what we need to be doing? We need to be praying. Praying hard. We need to seek in the Lord to ask God to work in their heart. And yes, sadly, we need to pray that God will put them in a position where they are interested in it. And then I ask all of us will pray that God will give us wisdom and how we ought to have a burden, how we can help, how we can help draw people to the Lord Jesus, because we know that they're walking around in tombstones trying to find something that will sustain them, and they'll never find it. With your head bowed and eyes closed tonight, can I just ask, would you be honest tonight? You say, Pastor Mark, I know someone. I work with them. They're maybe a family member. Maybe they're an acquaintance. Maybe they're your neighbor. Maybe they're just somebody that used to come here, but no longer are they interested in Jesus being their life. They've gotten involved in other things. You know someone that you know and love. Would you just be honest? And we're going to be very discreet, but would you be honest? Would you raise your hand if you know somebody like that? You love them and know them? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Let's stand to our feet. Could we just end in prayer tonight? And could I ask, if you raised your hand, here's what I want you to do with your head bowed and eyes closed. If you raised your hand, I want you know those folks? Now try to picture their mind. Picture their face in your mind. Picture their face in your mind. You got it? Why don't we just pray as we close tonight on this Easter day that we're celebrating? And how about we come forward? You find a place up here at the altar. Make your pew. And let's pray for these people that we know and love, that God will work in their hearts. They're going to begin to play. Why don't you pray? You find a place. You come here or pray in your pew, but let's pray. You see that person in your mind? You know they're seeking for life in the wrong places. God help us. By the way, most of the time, if the person's seeking for that life in those places, they know already that it's not going to give it to them. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be sensitive. Close in prayer. Can I just give one little thought? Years ago, there was a man under conviction. The Lord was dealing with him. Nobody knew it, but he was at work. And there was a Christian there at work, and this man knew he was a Christian. And he was talking about how bad his life was. He was talking about how depressed he was and how he didn't find any. And here's what this wise Christian that worked with him, this is all he said. He said, you know what? Jesus can help you with that. That's all he said. That was all he said. So this man, he never left that. That never left his mind. He thought, man, that's powerful. Jesus can help me with that. He said, then, it was not a day later, he said, I was driving down the road. He said, there was a bad car accident. He said, I got out of my car. And he said, these people come up to me. And he said, I was all upset. I was wanting to get on the road, get going. And the guy came back and said, listen, buddy. He said, listen, man. He said, someone just died up there. He said, somebody just died. He said, there again, conviction. He said, what if that had been me? Within 2 days, the man was on his porch. He called out and asked Jesus to save him. And it all started with a wise Christian just looked at him and said, hey, listen, Jesus can help you with that. People don't always need a sermon. But I want to tell you something right now. They need to be around some seasoned, wise Christians that have a burden and understand that at any moment God can take that thing, that moment, God can use it for His honor and His glory. Amen? Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, we know there's so many people in this day, they are seeking the living among the dead. I pray You'll help us to be a lighthouse in this dark world. And Lord, I pray You'll help us to let people know we're living life because we have You. I pray You'll give us wisdom, give us discretion. Lord, I pray you'll also give us discernment, but Lord, give us boldness and give us a burden. We'll thank you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said. God bless you. Have a great night. Be careful. Enjoy the rest of your evening.